Last October on our show, you met the Reverend Nathan Imsall, campaigns director at Faithful America. As numerous as the issues, the social justice platform under the banner of Love Thy Neighbor, No Exceptions were then, things are so much busier today. Activating diverse Americans of faith, progressive and otherwise, is both challenging and essential. And I am really happy to welcome Reverend Imsall back to State of Belief Radio. Nathan, thank you for making time to do this today.
Welton, you're more than welcome. It's an honor to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's remarkable how timely and targeted the action appeals that reach inboxes nationwide from Faithful America are. Would you describe why you've focused specifically on Count the Vote initiatives and election integrity in recent weeks?
Absolutely. Faithful America is a Christian social justice organization, though we participate in many interfaith partnerships as well. And a fundamental Christian belief is that every person was created in God's image. That means we all have God-given dignity. Democracy is a really important way in this country, in the system we have now, to protect that dignity, to protect and lift up the voice of every citizen, to empower the marginalized so that they can speak out and speak out with their allies. So when there are attacks on democracy, when there are attempts to stop vote counting from President Trump or others, those are attacks on the God-given dignity of every voter. By speaking out for democracy, Christians and other people of faith speak out for the obvious faith values of dignity, justice, and compassion. And we empower every person to keep speaking out for other justice issues through the ballot box and through year-round participation in the democratic process. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of attacks on the democratic system from President, soon-to-be ex-President Donald Trump and his allies. There were record attempts to stop people from voting this year, scrapping and canceling polling places, especially in neighborhoods of color, at disproportionate rates. Yet, in spite of all those efforts to stop people from voting, in spite of all those attacks on justice and our God-given dignity, I'm really excited to say that our efforts from people of faith and Americans across the country to count the vote and to protect democracy are working. It's really good news. In spite of the pandemic, in spite of voter suppression, Americans turned out in record numbers this month and in early voting last month. We turned out across race and place to stand together and to reject Donald Trump's attacks on justice, his attacks on dignity, and the religious right's repeated efforts to question all of the faith of Trump's critics. And thanks to that record turnout and the ongoing efforts, local officials in Michigan, Georgia, and beyond are now doing their job. They're counting the vote. They're certifying the results. And as a result, on January 20th, we are absolutely going to see President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris take office.
I'm interested in what kinds of responses have Faithful America's calls to action received on these issues?
We've seen a fantastic response. I think that Christian voters and voters of faith understand what's at stake after watching the last 4 years, the president's attacks on the religious freedom of our Muslim, Jewish, and atheist friends, his attacks on life itself by separating families, ignoring COVID-19 and climate change, and people are energized and ready to defend democracy from those attacks. Faithful America participated in a number of coalitions, both faith-based and broader progressive coalitions, like Protect the Results, partnering with hundreds of groups across the country. And about 2,000 of our members at Faithful America RSVP'd to join Protect the Results rallies if the lame duck president decides that he's going to try and stop vote counting. He has tried, but he's failing massively, so we haven't had to activate those rallies and protests. His lawsuits are 0-25 so far. But we've got thousands of people of faith and others ready, registered RSVP'd, standing by. I'm really excited by another initiative we did. We had a Defend Democracy preaching pledge where hundreds of preachers promised to use their sermons and their church bulletins, both before and after the election, throughout November, to speak about the sacred importance of counting every vote and how that relates to democracy and justice and dignity. We had over 1,000 Faithful America lay members, non-clergy, pledged to ask their pastors and ministers to and priests to participate in that democracy preaching pledge. That was really exciting to see. It was our most successful sermon drive ever.
Well, it was a terrific idea too, let me say, and it was one that I applauded out loud in my workplace.
Thank you. We're really grateful for that, and I think that hopefully, everyone who heard those sermons is grateful for that support too. It's such an important message. Then the most recent thing we've done, and I have loved the energy that our members have put into this petition drive. We had a petition signed by over 13,000 Faithful American members calling on Franklin Graham and Paula White Cain to accept President-elect Biden's victory and to use their influence as evangelical leaders to help Trump and his base do the same. I'll admit I don't really have high hopes for Franklin Graham, despite his father's legacy, or for Paula White Cain, but they do have a lot of influence. And we did see even Trump's ally, Robert Jeffress, the Dallas megachurch pastor, call Joe Biden president-elect and say, hey, if Donald Trump was president because of God, well, God didn't set out this election either. We've got to pray for President-elect Biden just as we did for President Trump. If Robert Jeffress can say that, so can Franklin Graham and Paula White Cain. And we partnered with Shane Claiborne, the Christian author on that petition. There's been a lot of energy behind it. It's I have no doubt that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be sworn in on January 20th. But it's so important to make sure that they get the transition they need, that there is peace rather than violence between now and then, and that we protect democracy long term. Because we know there are, especially in state legislatures, more attacks coming from the religious right on voting rights. And so calling on faith leaders, evangelical leaders like Franklin Graham, to stand by democracy now is really important to the long-term success of democracy. We can't just sit on our laurels and say, Trump lost, it's over. So I'm really excited to see that Christian activists and other people of faith are keeping up that energy for the long-term defense of democracy. Let me say, though, it's not just Faithful America that's been active in this area. I want to express my gratitude to Faith in Public Life and to Bend the Arc Jewish Action and a host of other faith organizations, faith leaders, and people of faith. The two groups I just named in particular coordinated a fabulous Count Every Vote toolkit for not just Faithful America preachers, but other preachers across the country to use. And they put together just this wonderful series of training webinars to help both faith leaders and grassroots folks in the pews learn how to talk about democracy and how to practice de-escalation, both at the polls and at protests following Election Day. So it's not just Faithful America. This is an enormous coalition of people of faith speaking out. And that's been so important. I mean, all these attacks on our democratic institutions, we can't say that democracy is working. Democracy is under attack, and our institutions are failing, and they have systemic racism and other problems built into them. But thanks to Faithful America members, Faith in Public Life, and so many other groups and Americans speaking out, we are winning anyway. We are defending democracy in spite of all the flaws, and we're going to keep doing that for months to come.
How do you choose which appeals should be going out under Faithful America banner?
That's a really good question, and it really varies. I will say, like a lot of digital-first groups, we test. So we don't want to be another grasstops communications group. There's so many of those, and they do great work, and it's important. We try to fill a grassroots niche and really empower people of faith, Christians in the pews, to speak out. So we're not saying, look at these 20 faith leaders. We're saying, look at these 15,000 people. And so one thing we do is really listen to our members and the folks on our email list, look at what they like to sign, look at what they want to call leaders about, look at what events they want to attend. Immigration, LGBTQ rights, systemic racism are really important faith issues to our members. It's about a quarter of our members are Roman Catholic, and it's very important to them to ask their bishops to stay accountable to the words of Pope Francis. And so we work on those issues we know our members are going to care about. And we sometimes do little test sends and see how things perform. And we also pay attention to what's in the news. We want to advance a social justice and racial and climate and economic justice agenda. But that doesn't just mean speaking out for what's right. It also means speaking out against the bad things that happen, especially things that are wrongly done in Jesus' name. So we're paying attention to what's in the news, to what our lame duck soon-to-be ex-president says about religion, to what his allies in the religious right say and will continue to say once Trump is gone from the stage. And we're responding to that, saying, no, that's not our faith. That's not what Jesus said. And, you know, we're a rapid response group at the ready to jump in at a moment's notice.
Yeah. Well, since we spoke late last year, Nathan, I wonder just your own answer to this. I wonder what one campaign have you done that demonstrates, as you see it, the power of the kind of engaged, inclusive morality that you work so hard to activate?
Oh, one campaign, huh? We've had five this year that I would call real victories. And I could probably narrow it down to two. You know, the first one, there are two that I'm just so proud of, and they were both coalition victories where every single group that joined in represented a different group of people and a different set of tactics, and I'm not sure these victories could have happened without everyone who participated, including Faithful America's members, but these aren't sole victories. And the first one that comes to mind is Donald Trump's nomination of Anthony Tata to be the number three position at the Pentagon. Tata is a retired general who is an Islamophobe, and let's say it, he's a racist. He's got a record of hurting and attacking black families when he was a school superintendent in North Carolina, and he has said all sorts of false things I will not repeat about wonderful American Muslims and Muslims around the world. His attacks on Islam are just one more example of how this president lies when he says he supports religious freedom. We helped defeat Anthony Tata's nomination in the Senate by working with Muslim advocates and the NAACP, Vote Vets, and others. Some of those other groups led the way on comms and media outreach and lobbying within the Senate. Faithful America had the largest grassroots activism piece of the coalition. We had more calls to the Senate, more letters to the editor in local papers, and more. We had Facebook ads in key states where senators on the Armed Services Committee sat. And thanks to the comms work at Vote Vets and Muslim Advocates and the lobbying they did and the NAACP and our grassroots work, Senator Inhofe, the chairman of the committee, canceled Tata's hearing, didn't even give him a vote. He lost the support from Senate Republicans. And Trump illegally stuck him in a non-Senate confirmation role, and that's a separate thing. But I hold this up as a victory because it took place not just in Congress, but in the right-wing Senate, the very place we look and say speaking out isn't going to make a difference. Their minds are made up. And yet it did make a difference. We've also helped get the Jim Baker Show off networks. Corporate victories like that are a little easier to win. I was really proud when we worked with so many other faith groups to get Ben Sarsiahan freed. He was an asylum seeker who was unjustly arrested by ICE agents on church property in Maryland. He'd never done anything wrong. They arrested him. They were going to deport him. A judge thankfully stopped that deportation. And then thanks to the activism of Faithful America and other groups, Church World Service, Ben Sarr's pastor, ICE freed him. They were going to hold him in detention until his court date, but now he's back reunited with his family.
Gosh.
So there are all sorts of victories. But, man, that one about Anthony Tata, if you can move the right-wing Senate, never doubt the power of people speaking out together.
Great work. Great work. How can our listeners find out more about Faithful America, and how can they partner in your work going forward?
Why, that's my very favorite question. Thank you. Go to faithfulamerica.org. There is a box where you can just put in your email address and your zip code. We don't need your phone number, and we never send postal mail. You can just put in your email address and your zip code and sign up. Or you can sign any of the petitions on faithfulamerica.org. There are 10 featured on our homepage at any time. And by signing those, you'll automatically join the email list. certainly, we'd love donations. We'd love you to sign up to like our Facebook page. But the biggest thing you can do is speak out with us. Sign a petition. You'll get updates on that issue later that go beyond just petitions. Right now, we're doing a lot on the death penalty. Unfortunately, though President-elect Biden is against the death penalty, Trump is ignoring the will of the voters. He's rushing through three lame duck executions, the first of which will probably have already happened by the time this interview airs. And it's of a black man, Orlando Hall, sentenced to die by an all-white jury. Mm-hmm. We are working with Shane Claiborne and Death Penalty Action and others to speak out against that. We're going to keep focusing on combating systemic racism as well as Christian nationalism and the religious right. We're going to respond to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops statement focusing on Joe Biden's pro-choice records. We're going to work to remind them that Pope Francis criticizes single-issue politics. All Christians and all people of faith need to help work with President-elect Biden on COVID-19, climate change, immigration, and push him for a progressive agenda rooted in justice, dignity, and love. We're going to do all that and more, and we would love for folks to visit faithfulamerica.org, sign the petitions, and join to raise your voice on all these vital faith issues in the coming weeks. Let me say, we are a Christian organization, but if you feel comfortable signing our petitions, at least 20% of our members are non-Christian. We welcome all interfaith partners.
The Reverend Nathan M. Saul is Campaigns Director at Faithful America, the largest online community putting faith into action for social justice. The group has been instrumental at pushing back against political religious right efforts to delegitimize the 2020 election and undermine the rule of law in the name of theocratic priorities and values, among many other essential campaigns. Nathan, it's really great work. I'm glad you're doing that. We want always to be supportive, and you let us know when we can be. Thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Welton, you've done so much speaking out about grace, love, the religious right, Islamophobia. To have your support and to talk with you about these important faith issues today and social issues, it's just such a pleasure. Thank you.